Blog Talk Radio.
People, good evening and welcome to your WWE Fastlane postgame show here on PWTorchLivecast.com. I am your host, Torch columnist Pat McNeil. Greg Parks will be joining us on the line shortly. We first have to get through this recap of what happened just moments ago. WWE Fastlane went off the air. First things first, yes, Bill Goldberg is your third WWE Universal Champion. Chris Jericho appeared and made his entrance on the ramp right before the bell, opening bell rang, and that was all the advantage Goldberg needed. He hit the spear, he hit the jackhammer, he got the pin. Goldberg is the champion, and Goldberg is scheduled to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. That match will be for the WWE Raw Universal title. The other big championship match, Bayley remains Raw Women's Champion, defeating Charlotte in 17 minutes after, you guessed it, Sasha Banks came out and interfered. Between that and Sasha sort of cheating to beat Nia Jax earlier, it looks like Sasha Banks is about to break bad. And Roman Reigns defeats Braun Strowman in 17 minutes. Strowman went for the Harley Race headbutt off the top rope. He missed, and Reigns hit the spear for the victory. Okay, 515-605-9345. We've got enough time that we are going to be able to take, I think, all of your calls. And I'll open up, I'll check on the emails in a minute. The chat room is open. We should be ready for all of you. Let's go ahead and take our first call. We're going to go to Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, you're on the live cast. Hello.
How you doing today, Pat?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing quite swell. Quite swell. Just got finished watching this 4-second match.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Not,
I don't know
record,
what to
but
say.
Close to it. Yeah.
Well, my first question would be, after again seeing, I guess you can't say that Bayley didn't know that Sasha was out there, so you can't say she didn't know that she was, it was kind of cheating to get this win. Does this really do anything to help Bayley out, and doesn't it underwhelm the moment for the title match, women's Raw title match at WrestleMania, since there's really no pay-per-view streak to break?
Yeah, I guess that's going to be part of the story, is that Sasha cost Charlotte her pay-per-view streak. I think there's two reasons here. One, the best guess is that we're going to get some sort of a four-way match at WrestleMania with Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte, and Nia Jax. And two, really, I think that what happened in the last hour was all about what's going to happen tomorrow with Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley. If you missed that part of the show, Stephanie McMahon and Triple H were unable to make it this evening because they were stuck on the tarmac with some sort of difficulty with their plane. And, I know how much Stephanie must have hated it to miss one of the 40 evenings out of the year that she shows up for work. But Stephanie warned Mick Foley that she didn't want any interference, anything like that to happen during the main event. During the two main title matches, and of course we had shenanigans during both of them, so I suspect that that's all for to the benefit of tomorrow's show.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured that we're gonna probably see the last of Mick Foley tomorrow. And one thing, with Goldberg winning the title, I know a lot of people say that him and Brock Lesnar add prestige to the title. But my question to you is, what really adds prestige to the title? Is it the person that holds the title, or is it the matches for the title that adds that prestige to the title? Which one adds more?
Well, I mean, they both add prestige to the title, but I kind of think it's both, but I think I think your ideal combination would be, say, if Rock was the champion and he defended the title every week for 52 weeks, and you know, and that made the title more valuable. And really, it's not a for a while it hasn't been a priority to make sure that to protect the titles. Now I'm guessing it is. But I think we're going to get some turnover here, unless they're planning to keep Bill Goldberg around for a long, long time. Which I suppose that's possible. Yeah,
because that's what I was thinking. Because does Goldberg winning in 4 seconds, then maybe losing in a quick match to Brock, then maybe Brock losing the night after Mania to Roman Reigns, do that really add prestige, or does it just make the title look like a prop just to get people over?
Well, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that they will have whoever comes out of Mania with the title, they're going to have hold the title for a couple of months at least. Let's see here. Hold on a moment. I'm going to see if Greg Parks has turned up here. I'm guessing this is Tim. Let's go to the 585 area code. Is this Greg Parks?
It sure is, Pat.
Hey, welcome to the show, Greg. Okay. Darrell was talking about this. What are your thoughts as to whether, is it more prestigious to have Bill Goldberg holding the title, or is it more prestigious to have good title matches happening? Which benefits the title more?
I really think it all depends on how things are booked. The way Goldberg has been booked lately, since his return, I think it makes sense for him to hold the title at this juncture. You know, looking at it from a storyline point of view, from the point of view of the casual fan who sees Goldberg return, they knew what a major figure he was in WCW when he first burst on the scene. He has that background in his pocket. He comes in and defeats Brock Lesnar scary quick at the Survivor Series, which very few people, maybe no one, expected. And then he handily disposed of Lesnar again at the Royal Rumble match. I think there is some credibility in Goldberg holding the title just because the way he's been booked in matches. And again, for the casual fan, for the more discerning fan, we know he's being protected because he's very limited in the ring. But the casual fan doesn't see this. They see this big jacked up guy who is a former heavyweight champion come back and seem like he hasn't missed a beat.
Yeah, and it's not that different than the matches he was having when he was going to the top of WCW. The matches are just shorter now.
Yeah,
but it's the same style, and it's the style that that a lot of people criticize them for not doing when Goldberg came to WWE.
Right. It's the style that got him over in the first place, and all they're doing is going back to it. And based on the crowd reactions, I don't think anyone expected necessarily Goldberg to be as over as he's been as a whole. The Goldberg chants, yes, they're easy chants, easy to chant. But, the fans have been with him almost everywhere. Even the promo that he royally screwed up on Raw, I think a month or two ago, the fans stayed with him, and they were still with him by the end of that promo, which you can't say for a lot of guys who would have screwed up as badly as he did at the beginning. So he's certainly built some momentum as far as crowd reactions go as well since his return.
Yeah, I think that they believe in him, and his style of promo is different from the normally scripted promos that they give him. Different is good right now in this era, I think.
Absolutely.
Okay, Darrell, what did you think of the show overall?
The show was okay. It wasn't spectacular, but it was an okay show. I liked the Samoa Joe match, and the Cruiserweight match was pretty entertaining for what you usually get. So overall, I think it was an okay show.
Yeah, I really liked the Cruiserweight match. I thought Braun and Roman Reigns did very well. The women's title match I thought was shaping up nicely before the surprise finish. So, but yeah, I don't think the other matches on the show didn't really do a whole lot for me. Greg?
I thought the first couple matches were better than I expected. The Cruiserweight match was probably the best of its style on pay-per-view since the division returned. But once WWE hit that middle of the show with Cesaro versus Jinder Mahal and Rusev versus Big Show, I don't think the show or the crowd ever really recovered from that. I thought Strowman versus Reigns was okay. It was quite a slog for the first 10 minutes. Then they did what WWE matches tend to do. You know, they'll slow for the first 10 minutes, and then the last 3 to 5 minutes, they'll break a table and they'll kick out of finishers, and people will remember that and say, wow, that was a great match. But I'm like, I don't think so, because I remember the first 10 minutes. And the women's match was good, but I think there was the assumption that Charlotte was going to win, so I don't think there was necessarily a lot of drama to it. And then when Bayley ended up winning, it was like, huh? At the end. So I think the mid-show or end of the first hour matches with Cesaro and Mahal and Show and Rusev were really killers. And again, I don't think the show or the crowd really recovered from that until the very end.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a lot of didn't seem to be a lot of demand to see Jinder Mahal in a singles match.
That's putting it nicely. That's saying there's not a lot of demand versus there's no demand.
Yeah. All right, Darrell, is there anything else?
Oh no, nothing else. Pretty good show. Ready to hear what else other callers have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we are too. Okay, thank you, Darrell. Darrell drops off. That opens up a line for you, 515-605-9345. Let me take one more before we go to break. Mark from Pittsburgh. Hello, you're on the live cast.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Wanted your thoughts on the show.
Well, as far as the whole show, enjoyed a lot of the matches, but I gotta say, man, I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy, but the ending of the show was absolutely sickening. I can't believe that they did that with Goldberg. It absolutely infuriates me. What's the point of that? Why do you have him? He can't go for more than 5 seconds in a match. He was inept 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and now he's the champ. It's infuriating. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I understand that. For the record, our friend Jason Pell timed the match at 22 seconds, so if I guess from the opening bell to the end of the three count. So, yeah, that raises a question as to what Goldberg and Brock Lesnar are going to do at WrestleMania. And I suppose, Greg, that's the reason that there's going to be a deep lineup and a lot of supporting matches.
Yeah, I don't see that one going very long. Look, Goldberg winning tonight should not have been a surprise. Maybe you're surprised at how quickly he won, but even then, that shouldn't be a surprise either. Brock Lesnar, the guy who's portrayed as the most dominant force in WWE, lost to him in shockingly quickly at Survivor Series. So really, what chance did Kevin Owens stand? Plus, they gave Kevin Owens an out by having Chris Jericho's music play, you know, giving him an out versus, you know, making him look stupid for getting distracted in a world title match. I guess you could argue those points, but I don't think anyone should really be shocked by how it went down. Whether it was quickly or Goldberg winning the title, that's been predicted for a while now.
Right,
okay,
I'm not shocked by it. But as far as all the burials from people coming over from WCW, why do they have this guy after 12 years not being in a ring destroying people? I mean, you know, as far as Sting jobbing, they made a mockery of DDP, of Booker T, of all these guys from WCW whenever it was current, and they came over. Now you have this guy that hasn't been around in God knows how long just crushing people within the company. I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, that is what he was good at in WCW, and I think they're planning to have him in for maybe one or two matches, and the fans are into him, and he's more over than their main baby faces are, probably because of the way that they book their main baby faces when they're on, and the fact that their main baby faces are all over TV for 3 hours a week.
Plus, let's be honest, this is a different time now than when WCW guys coming in, Booker T, DDP, were getting buried by WWE. WCW closed its doors, 16 years ago? I don't think there's any, there's not much of Vince McMahon that wants to get revenge on WCW anymore. So Goldberg is doesn't have that same WCW stench now because he spent a year in WWE afterward. And, you know, I don't think there's that desire to, quote-unquote, bury WCW talent today as there was 16, 15 years ago.
2 years ago with Sting at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was, that one was unforgivable. But I mean, I know the justification they gave for doing it, but the justification was all about, you know, Stephanie and Hunter wanting to do an angle with Ronda Rousey, and we all saw what came of that. So, yeah, I can't argue with that part, Mark. All right, you have anything else?
No, I just wanted to vent about the Goldberg taking my call. I also I thought the Jack Gallagher match was pretty solid with Neville. Is a positive.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty dope.
Yeah, Ed, Greg, it's amazing what happens when you know, first of all, you put the cruiserweights on first, and and I mean they and these guys got time, and it was treated like a serious title match, and it worked.
Yeah, it told a good story. It was a tightly worked match, cruiserweight style. We saw some hints of that, although it wasn't full blown athleticism that cruiserweights we think about when we think of cruiserweights. In fact, you know, Michael Cole hammered home that's not the kind of cruiserweight Jack Gallagher is. But I thought it was a really well done match, and probably, like I said at the outset, one of the best cruiserweight matches on pay-per-view since the cruiserweight division has come back into being last year.
Yeah, no, I would like to see something like that at WrestleMania, and hopefully Austin Aries and Neville can do that for us, because that's where I think they're going.
Yeah, if it's Aries versus Neville, I think they can definitely get to that level.
All right, thank you, Mark. We have to go to a break now. We'll come back on the other side of this. We will take more of your calls. We will open up emails. Chat room is open. Twitter, you can vent to myself and Greg. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. He's at Greg M. Parks. And we'll be back after this timeout. Don't go anywhere.
Do you love wrestling? Check out one of the hottest shows, Ring Rust Radio, breaking down WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, NXT, Lucha Underground, TNA, New Japan, and Indie Wrestling. The boys of Ring Rust Radio also interview some of the biggest names in wrestling, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, AJ Styles, John Cena, Roman Reigns, and many more. If you love the PW Torch live cast and you'd like to have fun, check out Ring Rust Radio. Find us on ringrustradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio and email the show, ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
And we are back on PWTorchLivecast.com with more of your WWE Fastlane post-game show, 515-605-9345, taking your calls and continuing on. Greg, since we got to through some of it at the top of the show, I want to go through all the results from tonight. Let's see. The kickoff show, it was Rich Swann and Akira Tozawa defeating Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar. Opening match, Samoa Joe beat Sami Zayn. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson kept the tag team titles by beating Enzo Amore and Big Cass. It was Sasha Banks defeating Nia Jax. Cesaro defeating Jinder Mahal in a special bonus match. Big Show over Rusev in the other special bonus match, which somehow went longer than Cesaro versus Jinder Mahal. Neville defeating Jack Gallagher to keep the Cruiserweight title. Roman Reigns beating Braun Strowman. Bayley keeping the Raw Women's title over Charlotte. And, yes, Goldberg winning the WWE Universal title from Kevin Owens, 515-605-9345. Let's see where we are here. We're going to go to – looks like Jay from Tampa is up next. Jay, you're on the live cast with Pat and Greg. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing this evening?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm cool. I don't know what was going on tonight. I was a little down on the show, I think. You know, it seemed like it's taken, you know, both the faces that I guess are now the champions. It takes interferences for them, you know, and they accept that. I guess that's how it's going to be if you win the title, but I'm getting kind of used to it now. I understand the vent from the previous caller because I kind of look at it now that WWE kind of treats the hardcore fans like sometimes like your parents treat you when company comes over. It just let you, mm-hmm. you know, let the company have your room and, you know, let them have, you know, the ball and toys to play with. So it's kind of like that's how we are treated when it comes to the casual fans. They know we're the long stay. Give them that, but I think the good feeling I get out of it is I'm hoping that Goldberg is the last of a dying breed. I can't think of anybody else that's going to come after him, so maybe we can go ahead and flush out all of these guys that come and get, you know, 50-year-olds come and just grab the belt, run with it for a couple of months and leave. But one question I have for you guys is I just so happen to be about Gallows and Anderson. You know, they kind of been driving home lately how, you know, they're been champions in multiple areas and stuff. Tonight they mentioned about them being the IWGP champions and stuff like that. Do you think that's a ready-made, feud with if the Hardys were coming in? I know there's rumors about them, but for them to be morphing from place to place, claiming that they're beating the best tag teams and this and that and the third, really Gallows and Anderson are the only tag team on Raw that are a legit tag team that's, you know, have won championships everywhere else and things like that. So do you think they could mix something up with the Hardys at this point going into WrestleMania?
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing I thought about when it looked like, you know, the Hardys were going to be coming here, is that Gallows and Anderson would be good first opponents for them. They're talented, but they're not, you know, they're not so charismatic that the Hardys, that you don't need the Hardys to give them a little oomph. What are your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, I think Anderson and Gallows would be on the Hardys list if the Hardys were to come to WWE, simply because they are the tag champions, and we know that Matt and Jeff have desired to win basically every tag title they can get their hands on, so you'd have to think that Anderson and Gallows would be in their crosshairs. But I think the New Day is the more intriguing, even at this point when the tread is kind of off the tires of New Day. I think that's the more intriguing matchup long term. If the Hardys were to come for them, New Day versus Hardys, and the Hardys have mentioned New Day in promos before, and I think there's been allusions to each other on Twitter by both groups, so that's the one I think WWE would want to get right into.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of natural given that the New Day held the title for about 1,000 years before losing it finally to Sheamus and Cesaro, so that's, yeah, I mean, I think that would work. And as far as I know, the Hardys don't have any dates announced after WrestleMania. So if they spend a little time with Ring of Honor and then come over, it'll probably be better for them, because I think they'll be more focused on the Hardys if they arrive in May than if they arrive 2 weeks before WrestleMania.
Yeah, it would be tough to get them on the WrestleMania card when the focus. WWE's focus is clearly elsewhere right now, whether it's building Goldberg and Lesnar, whether it's Undertaker and Reigns. If it was on SmackDown, it would be probably Styles and Shane or Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. It's kind of late in the game for them to come on board right now and get something for WrestleMania and make it feel like a big deal.
Yes, that's a valid point. Okay, anything else, Jay?
Yeah, real quick. My last question for about tonight is, is Mia, does it seem like yet again Rusev is in the doghouse? I thought that with them bringing Big Show out, and I thought if he got the win, then I thought that they were gonna get ready to reposition him for the 18th time to maybe get up to the status where I think he should be within the company. He got his new haircut tonight. They broke mm-hmm. him up with a hard body, if you will. And so I'm thinking, okay, he's back railed. but I can't understand currently the loss to Big Show. I don't think Big Show should have been anywhere around him if they're trying to put Big Show on a rail as well. So that's my last question is, Rusev in a doghouse again, or are they trying to repackage him again?
I think he was in the doghouse. I don't think he is necessarily in the doghouse right now. I think that WWE is my. If you ask somebody in WWE, one of the higher ups, their mindset would be that they did Rusev a favor by letting him last so long with Big Show. Although I don't think they did the audience a favor. Greg?
No, and I don't think breaking him up with Jinder Mahal is exactly bad for his future.
No.
It's probably best to get away from a lower card guy like Mahal at this point. You know, it could be just a situation where WWE has all the top heels they can handle right now. They've got Kevin Owens. They had Jericho before Jericho turned. They've got Braun Strowman. I mean, those guys at the top of the card on Raw are their focus. Triple H, Samoa Joe now there. So there really isn't a spot for Rusev at the top. Now, granted, you could say, well, Rusev could at least be winning mid-card matches and getting built up for something, but that's not really how WWE operates. If you're not being used in the main events of the heel, you're not really protected.
Well, I think the acid test will be if Rusev's the one who beats Jericho for the U.S. title, because I'm guessing they're going to get that off of him pretty quickly. Well, I don't know. That's a good point. They've got to do Jericho versus Owens because Owens isn't going to get his title back.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what we'll see probably over the next few weeks how they position Rusev, and they have. They're you're right. There doesn't seem to be a place for him right now. That's a good point. Okay. Thank you, Jay. 515-605-9345. Let's see here. Do we have? Oh, geez. I'm going to save him for after the break. Okay, Scott asks, hi, Pat and Greg, two questions. One, who do you think Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman face at WrestleMania? I don't know who Joe faces. I suspect Braun Strowman's in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, though. Greg?
Yeah, this seems tailor-made for Strowman. There are some guys who don't have anything. Rusev doesn't have anything, doesn't really have a direction heading to WrestleMania, and that's
You know,
that's another reason why we're not seeing Rusev being protected, because right now it's all hands on deck for WrestleMania season, and if you don't have something going on, you're kind of lost in the shuffle. Strowman, yeah, like I said, tailor-made for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You know, Samoa Joe, I think it depends on if they want to push Finn Balor for him to get back for WrestleMania. What's going on with Seth Rollins? Is he going to be back for WrestleMania? So there are still some matches that are kind of up in the air, some wild cards in play based on when guys are going to get back from injury to decide if they're
Correct.
Even going to be available for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I have a feeling, okay, Seth Rollins ends up with Triple H at WrestleMania if he's ready to go. Finn Balor, not sure. I mean, they might hold that off until after WrestleMania. I suspect that let's see. Well, I don't know. I mean, he's going to be back in the title picture though when he comes back, because he was undefeated and never lost the title. So in the ring anyway. So yeah, these are all important questions here. And I can't say I know everything. His second question, with Goldberg facing Brock for the Universal title at WrestleMania, when do you think Kevin Owens gets his rematch, and do you see Owens recapturing the title sometime? I'll answer the last part first. I think Owens will recapture the title sometime. I'm not sure when sometime is. When does Kevin Owens get his rematch? They're either going to do it, I think, tomorrow night or not at all. And if they do it tomorrow night, I suspect it'll be a red herring where Jericho gets involved and they don't really have a match. Greg?
I think if they do it, Lesnar may get involved as well. I don't know, maybe to secure Goldberg's victory so he could face Goldberg for the title at mm-hmm. WrestleMania, though Lesnar's kind of gone back and forth about whether or not he cares about even having a title. But I would kind of be on the side of, I don't know that he even gets one. I don't know that they'd give away a Goldberg match on Raw, which is all they have left between now and WrestleMania. They don't have another pay-per-view. And I don't really see them using Goldberg wrestling on Raw, but As you said, it could be just something short, some sort of red herring, just to get it out of the way. But the Owens-Jericho thing, I think, needs to be the absolute focus. So you can't 3 weeks from now say, oh, we're going to do Owens versus Goldberg in a rematch. I mean, the focus has to be Owens-Jericho. That's such a heated feud based on the segment where Owens turned on Jericho.
Yeah, I suspect also that they could have Stephanie say, "Okay, you're getting your rematch after WrestleMania," which at which point they can do whatever. Yeah,
yeah,
that works.
Sometime in the future, you'll get a rematch. Something, some wording like that.
All right, we will be back. We will be back with more of your telephone calls, and I know we have a lot of you on hold to get through. But don't touch that dial. The postgame show returns on PWTorchLivecast.com in just a minute.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
I got Boris and Greg here. Boris.
Yes, I'm here.
Boris, why'd you call?
Huh? Well, the previous call kind of still stole my thunder on Rusev. Because I didn't mind with Kevin Owens and all that, but you know, losing the Big Slow is just was too much for me. The match was too long. I was like,
okay.
Oh, man. But what do you think we're going to do Monday, you know, as far as tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess I think their priority is going to be getting to Roman Reigns and The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Greg?
Yeah, that's one they've got to start really tomorrow night. Reigns got rid of Strowman, beat Braun Strowman, which there was a lot of teeth gnashing about that finish on Twitter tonight. But getting Strowman out of the way, I mean, you look at Reigns versus Strowman tonight, and a lot of people were unhappy that Strowman's winning streak was ended here. But looking at WrestleMania, we just talked about how Strowman didn't really have anything lined up for WrestleMania, probably in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. You've got Roman Reigns, who's going to be facing The Undertaker. I mean, who do you think is going to go over in that scenario? So if you look at it from that point of view, I totally get Roman Reigns going over. But, yeah, they've got to start that program probably tomorrow night now that Reigns has put Strowman in his rearview mirror.
I understand that at one point they were talking about The Undertaker and Braun Strowman, but, that's not the
direction
they're going,
obviously.
Very early on,
I believe.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You gotta love these hair pulling out decisions. You know that they make when the fans we kind of see one direction and they always going in the opposite. It's just a hair pulling out direction. You know what I mean? It's like why? But I have a question. Did you guys see that Undertaker was tweeting? He was here. I was expecting him to show up and do something. Yeah,
he was there.
Undertaker. I fell for the Kool-Aid.
Hold on.
It's official.
Hold on,
Undertaker.
There's an official Undertaker Twitter account. Okay.
Yeah. And he tweeted, "I'm here," or something. And I'm like, "Oh, okay. That means he's going to get some booty tonight."
All right. It says it's the official Undertaker Twitter account, and it says Boris is a follower. And I mean, who could argue with that, Greg?
Mark Callis and everything. They gave. I mean, the page was like, it had everything you would think that the Undertaker page would have wanted to let you guys know that it's kind of official. But did we get any callers that was there?
I gotta say, Boris, I don't see that this Twitter account's not verified. I'm sorry. I think you might have gotten. Yeah.
Was
okay.
Anybody alive that wanted to call in and let us know if they see Undertaker?
That's an excellent question. I don't know. We're gonna comb through here and see if we can find anybody from Wisconsin. Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Boris. We might have to come back to Boris later. We'll see how this goes. Right now, let's see. Well, let's see if Craig from Chicago made the trip. Craig, are you there?
Yes, I am. And it was only an hour and a half up there.
All right. Good job, Craig. So,
hey, you go and the tickets are free, right?
Oh, were they free? Cool.
Well, they're, you know, I didn't have to pay for mine, so of course I'm going to go. Why not?
All right. So, how'd you enjoy it?
It was a good show. It was a good show. I mean, it's enjoyable whenever you're at a live event, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing, I'm looking into the future here, and when these part-timers can't go anymore for WrestleMania, you know, they're kind of in trouble, I think, because while the talent that they have now is probably some of the best talent they've had in years, the way they've been booked, I just can't see them drawn at the level they need to be drawn at. And it's not an indictment on the talent. It's the way they've been booked. You know, like I said, these part-timers are getting up there in age. There's going to come a time where they're going to be done. They can't go. So, I mean, how do you see it in the future?
Well, I think I want to say that if Triple H takes over, he might make more better use of the younger talent. But that's, you know, but I mean, we're looking at a situation where Greg, Vince McMahon might live to be 120. I mean, you know,
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Geez. So I can't. And he is the one. I think he has a lot to do with the proliferation of talent that they have coming back for WrestleMania.
And WWE and Vince McMahon want to make WrestleMania this big attraction. It's more than just a pay-per-view. It's WrestleMania. And that's part of the reason they use these part-timers in this way. You know, Triple H, Goldberg, Lesnar, they may all wrestle throughout the year at various pay-per-views, but they're all collected on one. And if Vince is really pushing for this part-time attraction wrestlers at WrestleMania, the question, what happens when they run out? Well, they'll get more. You know, they may be younger than the ones we have now, but they'll cycle through a different generation of wrestlers. They'll bring them in as part-timers. They'll use Kurt Angle if they have to. They'll bring back the Hardy Boys if they have to, you know, for part-time stuff. So it'll be a younger generation of part-time or older wrestlers, I guess.
Yeah, they're not keen on part. They would rather have people on the roster full time, unless they think that they're big enough star. Unless these people are big enough stars that they don't have to show up full time, in which case they can tell WWE no.
Yeah.
So there is that. Okay. So was there anything special that you got to see from being in the building that we didn't get to see on TV?
Nothing. It's just another regular wrestling event. That's all it was to me. Nothing special. Nothing. No, I'll tell you what. It's definitely not like it was back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, the crowd back then was more into it, more rowdy. It was a lot more fun back then. Now it's just so subdued, and it's a bunch of, how do I say this without insulting a lot of the fans out there? It's just a bunch of people who just don't really seem to be invested in it like we were back then.
Right.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, times change and all that. I get it. One other quick thing. If Roman Reigns goes over The Undertaker at WrestleMania, that place is going to – you're going to see an old-school reaction on that one. You're going to see some garbage flying in the ring and people getting rowdy the way they used to.
I don't think they want to see that at all. You might, Craig. Although with the way that stadium in Orlando is laid out, for people to throw garbage in the ring, they're going to have some pretty good arms.
Well,
but Craig, you didn't happen to see The Undertaker, did you?
You know, I was looking for him, but you know, he didn't show up. He didn't bother calling me up to let me know if he's going to be there or not. So
you didn't see him on his Samsung phone, you know, tweeting to his official Undertaker account.
Yeah, I didn't think he had a Twitter account. You know, it just kind of kills the character of the Undertaker, don't you think?
That is an unverified account, so we will have to reserve judgment on that. Yes.
Yeah, he's really protective of that character, so I don't see that.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that would be That'd be different if that were the case. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Craig. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks.
No problem. All right. 515-605-9345. Let me get Michael from Northwest Virginia, who is a VIP member. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the live cast.
Hey, guys. Did you switch to me earlier?
Tried to, yeah.
Yeah, is that when the show got derailed?
It got derailed because it for whatever reason they knocked my headset off and I couldn't hear or talk or evidently be heard. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was all garbly on my end, and I was like, oh boy, here we go. But anyway, I really like Greg's tweet tonight where he said, for old time's sake, should they just go off the air at 11 p.m. Eastern and just show the entire main event tomorrow on Raw, like Tony Schiavone back in the day going, we're out of time. He's got a chair.
Yeah, I think that would have, that a lot of the newer fans wouldn't have gotten the humor, I think, Greg.
Yeah, I think that was Wade Keller who tweeted that. I'll give him credit on that one. But, and there's a lot more of a way for fans to immediately voice their displeasure than there was back then. You know, you could call your cable company and complain, but now you could just bombard WWE on Twitter and cancel your WWE Network subscription. So the WWE has to tread lightly about doing stuff like that these days.
Yeah, definitely.
I've never known WWE to do a three-hour pre-show and then a one-hour pay-per-view, so it seemed. Tonight's event seemed the equivalent of AJ versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania. It's just something we all had to get through just to move on to better things. The booking tonight, I think, exposed Raw a lot with having two filler matches and then a New Day skit and then a Mick Foley backstage segments with Steph. I felt the Nia Jax-Sasha match really was bad. your thoughts, and then I have a quick follow-up.
Yeah, I think for about a minute or so during that match, I muted it during the Sasha Nia match, and the match seemed much worse. I think without the sound on there. I think Nia is, we've talked about this before. I think Nia is too nice to come across as a really killer heel, Greg. I don't think she has that in her repertoire.
That's one of many issues. The theme music, I think, is a problem as well, but that's probably pretty low on the list. Sasha getting the victory the way she did was a surprise, too. I kind of felt if the rumors about Sasha Banks going heel are true, before WrestleMania, I thought the impetus of her heel turn would be seeing Bayley have all the success, winning the title, beating Charlotte on pay-per-view, something Sasha Banks could not do, and here was Sasha Banks losing to Nia Jax on pay-per-view. I thought that would have made sense, especially with Sasha not really being able to one-up Nia Jax on TV either. But then they go and have her win here, and that kind of resets things in my mind, and I'm not sure where they're going with that from here. Usually if somebody is turning in WWE, they'll have them lose a bunch in a row because, A, it's not going to matter that the turn is going to give them the juice back anyway. So I'm not sure when and where they're planning that turn, but it kind of surprised me her winning tonight.
Well, I suspect that the actual finish was supposed to be Sasha used the ropes to win, and she was reaching back for the ropes, and she did not get there until after the three count. So that's what I suspect was happening, that they were somehow out of position and couldn't do the finish that they wanted to.
I see. That would make more sense.
Yeah, but Sasha needed to win. Otherwise, having her, she loses all these matches, and there's no reason to put her in the title match at the WrestleMania.
Yeah, they could always do something on TV, have her get a win back or something like that. Maybe not against Nia Jax, but somewhere along the way. Or, you know, use the excuse that, hey, I've been hurt. I haven't, you know, had my healthy opportunity for getting my title back. And now that I'm healthy, I feel like I deserve that shot. They can always work around that. They've certainly done that in the past.
All right. Well, do we have anything else, Michael?
Just my takeaways of the night. I thought the match of the night was the Cruiserweight match with Neville and Jack Gallagher.
Yeah.
We learned that Braun can wrestle. We saw that Roman either lost his luggage or he borrowed Shane McMahon's shoes.
Yes.
And
they've always worked for Shane.
Mm-hmm. Right. I thought I literally laughed out loud when Charlotte just walked on Bayley if that was normal. Just what a great heel that move that it was.
Yeah.
And Brian Alvarez, he tweeted out all that work for the finish of this match. He said, all that work just to end the streak on a random pay-per-view, whatever, over it. It was kind of a lackluster ending there. And then finally, Goldberg won in 22 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I suspect that that's going to be – I suspect Charlotte's going to be very angry about that, and that's going to be a plot point. But, if you want – for that matter, we also had Bayley winning the title on a random episode of Raw and not at WrestleMania. So I guess we're doing this all the way around, you know?
Right. Goldberg won in 22 seconds. Imagine that. And then somebody sent out a message that Goldberg is like the old man in a pickup game – who only wants to play half court. And I thought that was very good analysis of this soul Goldberg run. And sorry if I sound a little intoxicated tonight, but that's what it took to get through this show, because for me, it was that bad.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. We appreciate getting a VIP caller on tonight. Thank you. 515-605-9345. Now I do have to go to a break before I get a nasty text from my boss. So we'll be back after this timeout with more of your calls and emails and the like. Stay tuned.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
We are back with more of the PW Torch livecast post-game show for WWE Fastlane. I'm Pat McNeil, joined by fellow Torch columnist Greg Parks. The number, once again, 515-605-9345. And we'll take more of your calls here. We've got at least a half hour's worth in us, I believe. Before we go back to the phones, I do want to take a question from Twitter. It's from the_outcastkid on Twitter, who asks, how would you have booked the main event? I feel they could have at least let KO kick out once. Greg, why don't you tackle that first?
There's really, I think, two ways you could have gone. You could have gone the way they did tonight and have Goldberg win as quickly as possible, continue to build that aura for his Universal title match at WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar, or you could have had him go, let's say, 3 to 5 minutes. And, do you really accomplish anything more by having him go 3 to 5 minutes versus going 20 seconds? I guess you could consider that you protect Kevin Owens, but in the end, I would have had Chris Jericho come out and cost Kevin Owens the title. I would have had that be the finish, maybe not necessarily the way they did it here, but he certainly would have gotten involved in my scenario. So having Owens go an extra 3 to 5 minutes, is it really worth it? Does it really protect him that much to lose that in that time period versus losing in 22 seconds when he's going to immediately pivot into a feud with Chris Jericho anyway, and he's already got the out of Jericho costing him the title? So I'm not as down on the finish of Owens Goldberg as some people, because I think those are really the only two realistic scenarios they could have gone with.
Yeah, if you read my preview column on pwtorch.com, I would have had Owens keep the title for the reasons that we've already talked about, and had Brock Lesnar, cost Goldberg the title and get a good beating in, and it would be out of jealousy for Goldberg having taken out Lesnar at Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble, and that also could have set up WrestleMania. That's alas not to be. Now, what they could have done without changing anything in the match, Greg, is, you know, have the bell ring, have Owens do the 3 to 5 minutes of stalling that he did,
yeah,
and then have Jericho's music hit, and that be, and you know, that's the trigger for Goldberg to spear him and jackhammer him and pin him.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do that. I'm surprised they did the stalling and stuff before the match. I guess they still wanted to make it technically a 22-second match or a very quick match. That was what they wanted. Otherwise, you know, you could have done the stalling, because that's a trademark Kevin Owens tactic. The bell rings and he stalls. So for them to consciously switch it up the way they did here and have him do that before the bell even rang, yeah, they wanted to make it a 20-second match. They wanted to protect that Goldberg aura. They wanted to continue that Goldberg wins quick matches streak heading into WrestleMania.
Okay, yeah, I think so. We're going to go back to the phones. We have a VIP caller on the line. It is Eric from the 352 area code. Eric, tell us where you're from, and welcome to the live cast, by the way.
Thank you very much. It's Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
He's kind of just stole my thunder there a little bit about the main event there. I would have rather him seen them ring the bell and then him have KO stall, but that doesn't really matter. But yeah, you look at this, and this is, you know, at best a C level pay per view in their structure of things. And so I get having Goldberg win the title at this one. You want it to be at the last, you know, as close to WrestleMania as possible, but you don't want to give it away free on TV. So I get that. That's fine. But you've got Nia Jax, who has been touted as having no clean losses since she got to WWE, other than what, the one distracted finish that she lost to Bayley. You have the Roman Reigns and did he wrestle? Lost his name.
Braun Strowman.
Yes, thanks. You've got Strowman, who they were touted as never losing a match. I'm pretty sure he got pinned when he was in the Wyatt family, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Charlotte and her undefeated pay-per-view streak all going down on a C-level pay-per-view. I don't understand it. If they did screw up the finish of the match between Nia Jax and Sasha, and she was supposed to cheat to win, that may have changed things, but I would have much rather seen a no finish in the Bayley Charlotte match, have Sasha come out again, get involved, and actually have Bayley get disqualified. Charlotte keeps her pay-per-view streak alive, causes a little friction between Bayley and Sasha, and that leads into their three-way or four-way or whatever WrestleMania. I think that would have been a much better book than having Charlotte lose clean on what, the anniversary of her dad's retirement match and all that she posted on Twitter earlier. It didn't make any sense to me why you squash all three of those things on a C-level pay-per-view that means nothing.
Well, I'm guessing it's because none of those things really meant anything to WWE. Greg, your thoughts?
Yeah, the thing with Charlotte and Bayley, especially with Sasha Banks coming out and basically attacking Charlotte, and there was no disqualification there. And I kind of thought that's what they were going to do, the scenario that was discussed here, where, you know, Sasha would come out and attack Charlotte. That would be the disqualification. Charlotte would continue her pay-per-view winning streak. It would cause dissension between Banks and Bayley. But they didn't call for the DQ there, and I'm wondering if that's going to be something that Charlotte takes to Stephanie McMahon tomorrow night and said, hey, Banks attacked me. I fended her off, but she got in a few shots. That should have been grounds for disqualification. Maybe a rematch somewhere, or that's how they get into the WrestleMania match. But I think the most frustrating thing for me is the Charlotte pay-per-view win streak was something that was discussed and talked about by the announcers and by Charlotte at great length over the last several months. And, you know, blowing it here on a B-level pay-per-view fast lane, not only that, but they also wasted Bayley's first title win on an episode of Monday Night Raw. And those two were two big things they could have really saved for WrestleMania and made that feel even bigger. Have Charlotte lose there or have Bayley win her first title there. And they blew both of those before WrestleMania on relatively inconsequential shows, and I'm not sure why, unless WWE saw Fastlane as what everybody else sees it as, a total throwaway show, so they wanted to make it newsworthy, so they have Braun Strowman take the loss, they have Charlotte take the loss, they make it, try to manufacture that newsworthiness based on the results there.
I'm just going to go with Vince McMahon has ADD, and we'll leave it at that.
That can explain so much, then.
Yeah.
That might be the best answer we can come up with at this point. All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay. No problem, Eric. Thank you for calling. And by the way, we hope many of you will call in again in 4 weeks' time when we do this right after WrestleMania, the biggest Sunday live cast of the year, at least as far as we're concerned. Got another VIP caller. It's Tim from Philadelphia. Tim, you're on the live cast with Greg and myself. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Doing good.
So, yeah, kind of underwhelmed by the show in general. I think it's pretty sorry that the fact the bet and odds have been out for about a week now and they haven't changed anything of that other than the Sasha Banks, Nia Jax finish.
Hmm.
I got exactly what I expected out of Kevin Owens and Goldberg. I told my friend earlier that you're going to get 3 minutes of Kevin Owens walking around the ringside. In goes in, Jericho causes a distraction, eat a spear, jackhammer, 1, 2, 3, there's your new champion. The one thing that I did take, I don't know, I haven't heard you guys talk about it, but did you catch the two referee mess-ups tonight?
Which ones?
I'm guessing I didn't. One during the Cruiserweight, one during the Divas match.
Okay, I didn't, Greg?
No, but refresh my memory.
Okay, when Neville hit the Phoenix Splash, the ref counted a quick three, and same thing happened during the Bayley-Charlotte match near the end. On the first Bayley-to-Bayley, he counted a quick three as well. Same referee, too, so I guarantee you Vince is chewing his ass out backstage right now.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's, well, obviously he did it because he knew that was the finish, but still you're not supposed to do that. So, yeah.
No. Yeah.
That's... that, okay. Good point. All right.
One thing that kind of struck me is the build-up to the show, there was no talk at all about Samoa Joe interfering in the Goldberg-Owens match, and then this match alone, or the show alone, we had at least four instances with them talking about that. Where do you think that came from? Or are they just trying to build up Triple H's new stable?
Let's see. I think that came from they forgot to use it for the build of the show, and they wanted to work it in. They wanted to tease that it was going to happen, and since they knew it wasn't going to happen. Greg?
Yeah, WWE's reverse psychology at work.
They're very talented that way.
Yeah, the same way they gave away that Owens was losing the title by giving a number to his title reign. They haven't mentioned his days as champ up until tonight, where they gave it a solid number of 188 days.
Okay, well, I mean, they gave New Day a number for forever and then didn't pull the trigger on it. But, yeah, I can, yeah.
Well, that's because they were building towards the record. They weren't talking about any record with this. They just kind of just out of nowhere. He's been the champ for this many days.
Right. I got you. Okay, that's true. All right, anything else?
Thoughts on Balor coming up tomorrow night?
I'd like to see it. If this is their last chance, if he's going to be at WrestleMania, this is pretty much their last chance tomorrow to debut anybody who's going to show up at WrestleMania or bring somebody back. It's up to them. Let's see. I mean, if Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe, that, you know, nothing wrong with that, Greg.
No, absolutely not. But yeah, I agree that time is ticking. And if you're going to build toward a match, especially one that does not have any main roster history with it, you've got to start establishing it very soon.
Yeah, and I would expect Undertaker back tomorrow. So you got to be, they got to get moving on that.
Probably a long shot, but I'm just throwing it out there. Finn Balor versus Braun Strowman. There you go.
That's a long shot. I will agree with you there. Okay. Thank you, Tim. right, Tim, you too, Tim, a VIP caller here. Let's see if we have. I want to see if this is a 615 area code. You're on the live cast. Hello.
Yeah, Pat and Gray, this is Sean from Murfreesboro again. How you doing?
All right. How's it going, Sean?
Doing good. I mean, I was kind of on the same page as you guys in a lot of ways, but I wanted to, I guess, just talk about the last three real quick.
Okay.
I mean, with Braun and Roman, I mean, it was – I mean, I'm kind of with you, Greg. It was an okay match. I just feel like, you know, again, it was one of those things where Braun puts over Roman, and we didn't see much from Roman, to, you know, from what I saw, other than the few Superman punches, the one spear where he was just amazed that Braun kicked out, which it wasn't really that amazing that he kicked out because he really hadn't been through that much to begin with, so it was kind of like, okay. And then he spears him again to get the win, which was kind of just underwhelming. And, you know, it's just, again, I just pray that, you know, I'm really hoping that when Roman faces The Undertaker that he turns heel on him, because if he doesn't there, then it's going to be just a long reign of, you know, babyface for many, many years. So we'll kind of see where that goes. But I wanted to see what you thought about that. The Bayley-Charlotte, like, the whole story to me has just been out of whack. Like, ever since Bayley decided she wanted to keep the title when Stephanie gave her all the reasons not to, and it's just been Sasha a little bit interfering. It just makes the matches seem really weird, and she's, like, telling her the tights are getting pulled and it's throwing Charlotte off, and it's like it almost makes you feel sorry for Charlotte in some way, and you're not supposed to. But, you know, Bayley winning kind of just didn't really make a lot of sense. And then with the last match, I was okay with it because I'm kind of, you know, I'm behind Goldberg. I've always liked him, and I like the way they're kind of, you know, his promos are good enough to where it kind of gets you excited about him and Lesnar. But, you know, again, it's kind of like how long are they going to go with it and what are they going to try to do with it? And I'm with you, Greg. I think I would have liked to see Jericho come out and, you know, just do something to KO and get him to where, you know, it does really, really throw him off enough to where it makes him look a little better, to where it's not just like, oh, him looking away and all of a sudden him getting speared, jackhammer, and that's it. But I wanted it. I thought the show was okay, but those are just the few things. That's what I see with Roman. It's just, there's not much to him, and it's just hard to get excited about him. So I wanted to see what you guys thought about those.
Yeah. Greg.
We've talked about some of these matches already. Reigns and Undertaker is going to be really interesting at WrestleMania, and I'm kind of intrigued to see what story and what direction WWE goes in for the build, because people are already starting to mention, man, Reigns is going to get booed out of the building and people aren't going to take any kind of Undertaker heel turn if that's the direction WWE decides. So it's going to be really interesting how WWE builds that up. Maybe they go in with two baby faces. Maybe it's just the past versus the present, Undertaker versus Roman Reigns, and a battle of respect or something like that. I don't know. They could go in that direction, but that's going to be something to keep an eye on if, as you suggested, Pat, Undertaker returns tomorrow night and they really start that build in earnest.
Yeah, if they're planning to keep Roman Reigns as a babyface, which he's not in reality, but they're not going to like the reaction that they would get for Undertaker and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, and I mean, they have to know that, the WrestleMania crowd. Maybe they hope that because it's outside that all the sound will go up and it won't sound like Reigns is getting booed as much as he would be.
Good luck with that, I would say. Okay, Sean, thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
No problem. 515-605-9345. We'll take another timeout. We'll come back on the other side of this and take more of your calls as we start to wrap up the Fastlane postgame show. Stay tuned.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWTORCH.com/Amazon. That's PWTORCH.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
And the PW Torch Livecast Fastlane postgame show continues. Our phone number is 515-605-9345. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil. He is Torch columnist Greg Parks. And we are here going through WWE Fastlane and getting a lot of your reactions to it. I'm going to go to email right now. Chris from Toronto writes, "Hi, Pat and Greg. With the women's title match and the universal title match, do we just see one of the worst booked angles of all time followed by one of the best booked angles of all time back to back?" Greg, you want to tackle this first?
I don't think there was anything in the running for best booked angle of all time on this show. I think that's being quite generous. There's and even worst of all time. The hyperbole, I can't get on board with that. But there was some questionable, head-scratching booking decisions here tonight. Like I said earlier, the Universal title, like, I get the direction they went in. I get, but I also understand the people who say, hey, neither Goldberg nor Owens look good coming out of this. Owens gets distracted, loses his title. Goldberg only wins because Owens gets distracted. Neither of them look strong. I get that point of view, too. So WWE kind of in a between a rock and a hard place with Owens Goldberg, and I don't think any decision booking wise or angle wise that they made was going to make everybody happy tonight.
No, I would agree with that. That seems fair. Real Brad Unger on Twitter writes, "If Goldberg's so tough, why does he need all those security guards?" Yeah, and why do you drive on a parkway and park in a driveway, Greg?
I don't know. I assume it's to make him look like, I don't know, dangerous. Is that because it's not that he needs protection. It's like almost that everybody else around him needs protection. And the UFC fighters, I mean, they come out, they're not necessarily security. Some of them are just the guys to train them and things like that. But they do that too. And no one questions the toughness of UFC fighters.
Mm-hmm.
In general,
it's a way to give him a distinctive entrance, I think. All right, let's go back to the phones. The 847 area code, 847. Please state your name and town. You're on the Fastlane postgame show. Hello.
Hey boys, how are you? It's Sean from the land of Boris. How are you?
Sean from Chicago. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. You know, I called you last month. If you recall, we talked about the gambling situation with the betting.
Yes.
on the matches. So I have a couple quick topics. I'll blow through these quickly. So I was very curious tonight. You know, I really didn't even want to look at them tonight, but I my morbid curiosity had to. And it was very interesting that Strowman was a huge favorite. I mean, huge, like a $9,000 favorite. And Sasha was a huge favorite. Nia Jax was a huge favorite. So it makes me wonder, did someone from WWE make a lot of money tonight, or were they booking on the flag tonight? You know, but these were huge favorites. And Nia Jax actually started off as an underdog and then jumped to a huge favorite and then ended up losing. So I'm curious about that situation. I hate to keep bringing up the gambling thing, but I find it very, very interesting and very curious. Thoughts on that? I have one last comment to make.
Sure. Sean, it's my understanding that the money from the, shall we say, the affiliated bettors comes in, a couple hours before the show, and the odds substantially change after that. Is that what you saw?
No, the money didn't change at all except for Nia Jax, and that happened, maybe the day before. So, so going into tonight, right up to like the show, they were, 9,000, they were all huge favorites. The three huge favorites all lost tonight. So one thing, if WWE is trying to throw a curveball at the idiots like me that look at that kind of stuff, or, you know, I don't know what the angle is to that. You know,
I said, the last two or three
months, it's been spot on correct. Tonight, it was not.
I'd be pretty curious. There's somebody that I can ask about that, but I can't ask him tonight. Greg, what do you think?
I'm guessing that it was probably last-minute booking decisions. Just based on how this show felt and how it came across to me, it wouldn't have surprised me if there were some last-minute changes to results tonight.
Yep.
And Greg, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. No, I was just saying, I agree with Greg. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Greg, too.
Because, you know, this show tonight, to me, was very ambiguous. I mean, it was like, it felt like a long drawn out, you know, edition of Raw, and it really made no sense at all. The only thing that made sense, which people are saying is it was wrong, was Owens losing the way he lost, because that's how Goldberg wins. So, and then that sets up the WrestleMania match with Jericho. So that actually was the only legitimate smart booking tonight. But my final question and comment is, what is the purpose and the gain of having Strowman lose tonight? Because he's a monster. Now he's going to fall into that Rusev category where Rusev was a couple years ago undefeated. You know where he is now, new haircut and new gimmick and no man's land. I mean, even if Strowman goes into the Battle Royal, big deal. I mean, you've lost him now, you know, and I don't see how you gain him back. It was ridiculous where Undertaker could have got involved tonight, played his music. He could have maybe walked out, done something, did anything to distract. I know it's another distraction finish, but, you know, could have easily protected Strowman, you know, set up Reigns and Undertaker for WrestleMania. It's just ridiculous to me. It's very disappointing, to say the least. So,
okay, well,
that's my rant. Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that, and thank you for checking in with us, Sean. Greg, I suspect that the reason that it was set up that way with Strowman taking the clean loss was to make Roman look strong.
Yeah, one could make the argument that Braun Strowman has been built up to the monster he is to be put over for Roman Reigns to win, to beat him, and to make Roman look good. If you wanted to look at it from that point of view, you know, I don't think Braun is dead from having this loss. Losing to Roman Reigns is not something to be embarrassed about, and it's not something to where he's going to lose his heat. Sure, it's a chink in his armor because he has been undefeated and he has been dominant, but there's nothing a little chair throwing and announce table tipping over tomorrow night that he can't get that heat back and be just as strong. But again, you got to look at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns has a match with The Undertaker. They want him going into that match looking strong. Braun Strowman doesn't have anything set up for WrestleMania, so he's at the mercy of the WrestleMania booking right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it. And it was only several months ago that we had Sami Zayn and Strowman going fighting to a 10-minute draw, and that, you know, I can't say that necessarily helped Strowman that much. So, yeah, I they can build Strowman back up. The question is whether they will or not. Craig, who is a VIP caller, is on the phone here in the 419 area code. Craig, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm doing fine. What were your thoughts on Fastlane?
I was not disappointed because I didn't have many expectations, but I had a friend over, and my friend, and he's still here. He's actually on the other. We're on a dueling. Phone. We're actually listening at the same time.
Okay.
Yes. All right. But he's not going to call in.
Oh, okay.
I was curious. Well, first of all, I want to put you over. Greg Parks, I love you so much.
Wow.
Wow.
And
thank you.
And real panic, nice. You know, I long for the days of the old soundboard with the switch, you know, with the thing with the slap shots and, you know, Jim Carr.
Send your emails to kellerwade@gmail.com.
Oh, man, I so will. I mean, he's so busy. He's on like 6 days a week nowadays. But anyway,
that's what I'm told.
I wanted to ask you guys.
Appreciate it. Yes,
you guys are long time wrestling guys.
Mm-hmm.
I need to ask you, when the hell did WrestleMania become the be-all, end-all of wrestling? Because it seems like everything is geared towards WrestleMania. The whole year, like back in September, we're gearing towards WrestleMania. Like, we're trying to, you know, build this guy up and this and that. Back, I don't mean to be like a old guy, but back in my day, the WrestleMania was just like pretty much SummerSlam, you know, or Survivor Series. When the hell did WrestleMania become the be-all, end-all? Like, we need to have the biggest match of the year and all this shit. I'm sorry. And all this stuff, and also sacrifice the rest of the year to get this great card, which no one likes. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Craig. I'm going to say about 15, 16 years ago, Greg. About when they decided that this was more often than not going to be when they did stadium shows for WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of when I would pinpoint it as well. And you know, the argument is funny because there are people who will argue with you that WrestleMania is not treated as big enough, that WrestleMania is treated as another bump in the road. And WrestleMania should be the place where year-long stories culminate and end, and the night after WrestleMania should almost be like a season premiere, the beginning of a new season. So many big stories should be ended at WrestleMania. We're not seeing that anymore. We're seeing WrestleMania just being another bump in the road. It used to be, I'm not sure what it is this year after WrestleMania, but Extreme Rules would always have, you know, two or three WrestleMania rematches.
I believe technically Payback is the one that's going to be after WrestleMania this year.
I know.
Yeah.
I know it used to be Extreme Rules, but we'd see rematches and people would lose their minds and say, well, you know, WrestleMania should have been the blow off to all of these matches. We shouldn't be getting rematches at Extreme Rules. So there's an argument for the other side of that too, where people are saying, hey, WrestleMania isn't big enough. This is where the biggest feuds of the year should culminate and should end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love it if we had some year long storylines come to an end at WrestleMania. Like, I don't know, like Stephanie being in charge of Raw, for example. That storyline can come to an end. I won't miss
that's
it if
gonna,
it does.
That storyline's gonna outlive us both, Pat. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it is. I know that. Yeah. Oh well. All right. It says here. Yeah, Payback is the show. Payback's gonna be on April 30th, Greg.
So. Okay.
All right. Well, on that note, I think it's time that we take one final time out here. We will be back. We'll be back on the other side of this, so don't you go anywhere.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
And the PW Torch Livecast post-game show returns. I'm Pat McNeil with Greg Parks. Greg, I'm not sure how long the the gods of live feeds are going to give us here, because we're running a little bit longer than expected, but we'll just keep taking calls until we run out of them, I think. It is 515-605-9345. Let me see if I can find where we left Greg here. And we'll go ahead and finish up as many of these as we possibly can. I do want to tell you that PW Torch VIP membership can be obtained by going to pwtorch.com/govip. And sign up now. Get 1 month in time for WrestleMania. PWTorch.com/govip. Okay, Greg, you want to try to go through these calls by brute force?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to go to the 251 area code. 251, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast postgame show with Pat and Greg. Hello.
This is Kenny from Mobile, Alabama.
Okay, how you doing, Kenny?
I'm doing okay, guys. And I don't know, pay-per-view was kind of just off, it seemed like. And I know from a story standpoint, Lesnar Goldberg kind of makes the most sense. But honestly, I couldn't put myself in a situation of where if me and my friend were, let's say we had a dog, and in the situation with Jericho and Owens being best friends, Jericho distracted Owens and he lost his title. It makes more sense to me that Jericho would want to take the title away from him than cost him to lose it. By basically, if the friend who betrayed me and distracted me while the neighbor stole my dog. Does that make any sense to you guys? You know, kind of see what the analogy there is. Probably horrible. I'm sorry.
I think so, Greg.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I mean, do y'all okay. do you feel like that would have been like a little bit more, you know, better that Jericho would say, you know, you betrayed me, I'm going to take the title away from you, then cost him the title?
Yeah, but that's, you know, that might be a little too, they try to keep things real simple, and the simplest way, I think they felt the simplest way would be to have Jericho celebrating that Owens had lost the title.
All right, guys, well, that's all I got. I'll do a good job. I'll continue listening. Thanks.
Kenny drops off.
You're really
5. Hello?
Yeah, you're really choppy.
I am? Okay. Well, now I can hear you. So let's
okay.
Kenny, you still there?
Yeah, you're good.
I'm good, guys. I'll continue on. Thanks for it.
Okay, no problem. Let's see what we have. 773. This is somebody from, obviously it's somebody from Illinois or the Midwest. Let's go with, actually, Reginald from Portland. Reginald, you're on the live cast with Pat and Greg. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing this evening?
Doing fine. We're going to try to get through as many calls as we can. What can we do for you?
Okay, no problem. Yeah, to be honest with you, I definitely am of the mind of a little bit of my thunder was stolen about the opinion about Roman coming up on WrestleMania. I'll tell you right now, if he does beat Undertaker at WrestleMania, you thought the reaction at the Rumble like 2 years back, and then the reaction he got last WrestleMania was bad. There better be a heel turn at the end of that rainbow, man. I try to be optimistic about this kind of stuff, but that's something that he will never come back from. I can guarantee that. Like, that would be, you know, and it's already irreparable damage in the first place. Like, they might as well just start a support group of guys who have had to make Roman look strong at this point, you know, and it's like Vince, he's like the kid that can't let go of his favorite toy. It's like Roman is his favorite toy, and he refuses to just let it go and move on. You know, because, you know, there is, like, tons of good, like, a brevity of good storylines out there and millions of ways to do something right and to do it well. And I was a few weeks back, at a Raw here in Portland when Strowman absolutely destroyed Roman, and the reaction was thunderous. To the point, I mean, when you hear it live, they can't sound sleep it out when you see it at home.
Yeah.
And the reaction he got, they were like chanting, "Thank you, Strowman." You can't deny that. And I really feel like they, you know, like they crapped on Strowman really well. They built him up really good. Like, he was like a Rocky, like Rocky villain good. He was a believable badass. You know, like he felt like an actual threat. And I think among other things they did tonight, they really, 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 really put out a lot of fires tonight. So just wanted to get your guys' opinion.
Yeah, I can't imagine it going well if they decide, well, we're going to keep Roman babyface, and you know, maybe after he puts in a good outing against Undertaker, people will respect him. Because you shouldn't have Roman beating Undertaker at WrestleMania, for one thing, and I can't see anywhere where he gets cheered. Sorry. Greg?
Not at all. Yeah, there's just no way.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
go on.
Yeah,
sorry, Michael.
Yeah. No, sorry. Yeah. It's one of those cases where there's the only way to go is down at that point. I mean, if you want to make him a heel at that point, that's the perfect way to do it. Either way, he's actually won or not. You know what I'm saying? I think it was you who made the comment a while back that if you put a broom against Roman Reigns, the broom is going to be the babyface.
Well, I mean, that sounds more clever than the way I'd put it, but yeah, I like it. I'll take credit for it.
Anyway, I'll let you get back to your other callers. Hey, take it easy, guys. Have a good evening, and I'll call again soon.
Okay, thank you, Reginald. Actually, our live feed is done, but we still get to record and we'll take the calls of the people who are on hold because you waited this long. We might as well do it. 727 area code. Thank you for hanging on with us. Please state your name and town. Hello, 727. Okay, Greg, you're still there, right?
I'm here.
Okay, well, maybe they gave up on a 719 area code. Thank you for calling. You're on the live cast. State your name and town, please.
Ashley in Tampa, Florida.
Hey, welcome to the show, Ashley.
Hi, I have three comments about tonight's show. Did you want me to say them all at once or let you guys respond to each one?
If there are questions, one at a time, I think would be better.
Okay, yeah, they're just comments.
Okay. Well, fire away.
Okay. About Goldberg's match, I kind of feel like they don't trust him to go the distance, and that's why they keep letting him have these short matches. And hopefully that at WrestleMania, you know, they'll let him actually have a real match against Brock. And then my comment about the Charlotte and Bayley match, I'm a huge Bayley fan, but I kind of feel like it was unfair to have Charlotte lose her streak at Fastlane, and even to let Bayley go into WrestleMania holding the title. I kind of feel like if they wanted to have shock value, they would have had Bayley win at WrestleMania as opposed to trying to defend her title at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last comment was, I kind of feel like the Sasha and Bayley best friends, you know, thing that they have going on is going to lead to a turn on Bayley at WrestleMania. That Sasha will definitely try to capitalize on that best friend role, kind of like the Jericho and KO best friend that, you know, that they had going on.
Okay, well, Ashley, I definitely agree with that last one. I'm sure that's what they're going for. They want to redo the whole Sasha Bayley feud from NXT that worked out very well on that show. Yeah, Greg, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, now that you mention it, it does make more sense, I guess, for Sasha to turn on Bayley during the match and have them.
No,
if they're going to do a four-way, if they're going to do a four-way at WrestleMania, I think it makes more sense to have them go in with Sasha and Bayley as the two baby faces, and then Nia and Charlotte as the two heels, rather than do three. Rather than have Sasha turn on Bayley before the WrestleMania match, and then have it basically set up as three heels versus one baby face.
Yeah,
that would make more sense to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. And anyway, I can't. We discussed the other two and can't really argue with those. Thank you for calling, Ashley. Thank you for holding on as long as you did.
Thank you.
No problem. All right, one more we got to get to. This is Alan from Allentown. Did I get that right? Welcome to the live cast, Alan. Aaron from Allentown.
Aaron from Allentown.
Okay.
That's good, guys. Yep. I have a couple quick comments.
Sure. One, Goldberg winning the title, I think Terrell from Georgia, the first caller, said what brings prestige to the title. I think that summed it up right there. The past 5 years, four of the guys carrying one of the major titles going in WrestleMania were part-timers, Brock Lesnar, mm-hmm. The Rock, and I can't remember the other ones because it was just ridiculous that these part-timers were holding the title. And my other question, and this is how I'll end it off, is Jericho going to drop the U.S. title? Is Kevin Owens going to cause him to drop that title? And would Braun Strowman be a good guy to drop it to? And that's all I got for you guys. Have a good night.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron. I think I can answer that. I think Jericho keeps the title until WrestleMania. And assuming he's going to leave after WrestleMania, you know, for a while, he drops it to Owens.
Yeah, they could make the story, hey, Kevin Owens could say, Chris Jericho, you cost me my title at Fastlane. I'm going to cost you your title at WrestleMania by winning it from you. So that's a story they could tell there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's all the callers that we've had on hold. Greg, I want to thank you again for a wonderful 90-plus minutes here on Fastlane, and I guess we're going to have to plan to stay up all night at WrestleMania.
I'll be wearing my WrestleMania tuxedo ready for that, ready for the big show, the big live cast on WrestleMania night.
Yeah, I'm expecting I'll be on one of these live casts this week with Wade, and you might as well, for all I know. And we'll try to get together and do something next weekend.
Sure, sounds good.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. If you have stuck with us for this entire PW Torch livecast post-game show, you might want to consider the benefits of a PW Torch VIP membership. And here to tell you about them is our wonderful announcer. Take it away.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.